The process of conforming to the Creator. An altruistic action, creation, the departure from egoism, consists of the action of setting a limit or a screen, called a masach, to the pleasure coming in the form of a spiritual light, a screen, which in turn reflects the pleasure back to the source. By doing this, an individual voluntarily limits the potential for pleasure and thus determines the reason for accepting pleasure. Pleasure is, then, accepted not for the sake of indulging one's own egoism, but for the goal of creation. The Creator wants to give pleasure to the individual. Therefore, by delighting in the pleasure, the individual in turn gives delight to the Creator, and this is the sole reason for which this individual indulges in the pleasure. Notably, the individual decides for himself that the pleasure that he received should be from this, that he benefits the Creator, and thus has the willpower to withstand other than receiving pleasure directly. In such a case, the actions of the individual and the form of the actions of the Creator coincide, and in addition to the original pleasure, the individual also experiences a great pleasure from the concurrence of his own qualities with the qualities of the Creator, from his greatness, strength, might, full knowledge, and limitless existence. The level of one's spiritual maturity is determined by the size of the screen that the individual can erect on the path of the egotistic pleasure. The greater the strength of the countermeasures to personal interests, the higher the level achieved, and the greater the light received for the sake of the Creator. All our organs of perception are constructed in the following manner. It is only through the contact of our organs of perception with the incoming information, that is, the information through sound, sight, smell, etc., that this information is both sensed and interpreted. Without the signal's contact with the barrier on the path to its dissemination, it cannot be sensed or interpreted. Naturally, all our measuring instruments function in accordance with this main principle, since the laws of our world are nothing more than the consequences of spiritual laws. Hence, just as is the revelation of a new phenomenon in our world, so too the first unveiling of the Creator and then every consequent sensing of Him is solely dependent on the size of the boundary that the individual is able to erect. In the spiritual realm, this boundary is known as a vessel, or a kli. What is actually perceived is not the light itself, but its interaction with the boundary on the path of its dissemination, which is derived from the influence of this light on the spiritual kli of a human being. Similarly, in our own world, we do not perceive the phenomenon itself, but only the result of its interaction with our organs of perception or with our instruments. The Creator has endowed a certain part of himself with an egoistic desire for pleasure, the desire that he himself created. Consequently, that part ceased to perceive the Creator and senses only itself, its own state, its own desire. This part is called the soul. This egoistic part is also part of the Creator, since only He exists, and there's no vacancy that's not filled by Him. But because egoism senses only its desires, it does not perceive the Creator. The goal of creation consists of having this part choose to return to the Creator through its own will and its own decision to again become akin to Him in His qualities. The Creator completely controls the process of bringing this egotistical part to unite with Him. But this control from the outside is imperceptible. The desire of the Creator manifests itself, with His own concealed help, in the desire to merge with Him that emanates in the depth of the egotistic part. For the sake of simplifying this problem, the Creator has divided egoism into 600,000 parts. Each of these parts resolves the problem of rejecting egoism gradually by slowly arriving at the realization that egoism's evil through the repetitive process of gaining egoistic qualities and suffering from them. Each of the 600,000 parts of the soul is known as the soul of a human being. The period of merging with egoism is known as the life of a human being. A temporary break of the connection with egoism is known as the existence in higher spiritual realms. The moment at which the soul gains egoistic qualities is known as the birth of a human being in our world. Each of these 600,000 parts of the collective soul must, as a result of a series of fusions with egoism, nevertheless choose to unite with the Creator and reject egoism, despite the fact that egoism is still within the soul, that is, when the soul is still within a human body. The gradual process of conforming to the Creator in qualities, the systematic approach of the qualities of the soul to those of the Creator, is known as the spiritual ascent. The spiritual ascent occurs along the levels or steps known as Sephirot. In total, from the very first to the very last step of merging with the Creator, the spiritual ladder consists of 125 steps or Sephirot. Every 25 Sephirot constitute a finished stage known as a world or a realm. Thus, aside from our own state, which is known as our world, there are five worlds. Therefore, we see that the goal of the egoistic part is to reach the qualities of the Creator while still existing in us in this world, so that in spite of our egoism, we can still perceive the Creator in everything around us and within us. The desire for unity is a natural, innate desire. That is, a desire not conditioned by any prerequisites or inferences. Rather, it's an inherent knowledge about the necessity of uniting with the Creator. In the Creator, this desire exists as a free wish. But in the creation, it acts as a natural abiding law. Since He created nature according to His own plan, every natural law represents His desire to see such an order in place. Therefore, all our natural instincts and desires emanate directly from the Creator, while those inferences that require calculations and prior knowledge are the fruits of our own actions. If an individual desires to reach complete unity with the Creator, he must bring that desire to the level of instinctive knowledge, as if it had been received with one's own nature from the Creator. The laws of spiritual desires are such that there's no place for incomplete or partial desires, that is, desires that allow place for doubt, for unrelated wishes. For this reason, the Creator heeds only the plea that emanates from the very depth of a person's feelings and corresponds to the complete desire of the spiritual vessel on the level at which that person exists. But the process of the birth of such a desire within a person's heart occurs slowly and accumulates unknown to that person on a higher level than can be grasped by the human intellect. The Creator consolidates all the small prayers made by the person into one. And upon receiving the final plea for help of necessary magnitude, he helps that person. Similarly, when a person enters the sphere of action of the Creator's light, he receives everything at once, because the Supreme Giver is eternal and does not make calculations based on time and the circulation of lives. For this reason, even the lowest of the spiritual levels generates a complete sense of the eternal. But because an individual continues to experience a series of spiritual ascents and declines even after reaching the initial spiritual level, he exists in a condition such as the world, the year, the soul. The dynamic soul, which did not yet complete its own correction, requires a place to move. This place is known as the world. The sum of all the soul's motions is perceived as time and is known as a year. Even the lowest spiritual level generates the feeling of complete perfection to such a degree that it's only through the individual's faith above reason that the individual comprehends that the new state is nothing more than spiritual refuse of a higher spiritual level. Only by grasping this concept can one ascend even higher to the spiritual level that one believed to exist and which one elevated above one's own sense of perfection. Our body functions automatically in accordance with the laws of its own egoistic nature and habit. If an individual constantly repeats to himself that he desires only spiritual ascent, then in the end, that individual will desire it because the body, by virtue of these incessant exercises, will accept this desire as a natural one. It's often said that a habit becomes second nature. In the state of a spiritual decline, one should hold on to the belief that when Israel is in exile, the Creator's with them. When an individual is in a state of apathy and hopelessness, even the spiritual world presents no interest to that person, because everything appears to exist on the level at which that person exists at that moment. Therefore, it's necessary for that person to believe that this feeling is nothing more than one's personal perception, caused by the fact that at that moment the person's in a state of spiritual exile, and consequently that the Creator is also exiled from that person's perception and is no longer sensed. The light that emanates from the Creator goes through four stages before the creation of egoism. Only the last one, the fifth stage, or malchut, is called creation because it perceives its own egoistic desires to delight in the light of the Creator. Thus, the first four stages are all qualities of the light itself through which He creates us. The highest quality, the quality of the first stage, the desire to delight a future creation, is accepted by us to be the quality of the Creator Himself. The egotistical creation, the fifth stage of development, desires to counteract its own egotistical nature and to become akin to the first stage. Though the attempts are made, they're only partially successful in this endeavor. Egoism, which is able to counteract itself fully and to emulate the action of the first stage, is known as the world of Olam Adam Kadmon. Egoism, which can be compared to the second stage, is called the world Olam Azilut. Egoism, forming a part of the fifth stage, that can no longer be compared to either the first or the second stage, but only to the third stage, is called the world Olam Beria. Egoism, forming a part of the fifth stage, that has no strength to withstand itself, so as to be compared to the first, second, or third stages, but can only resemble the fourth stage of the development of the light, is known as the world Olam Yetzirah. The remaining part of the fifth stage, which has no strength to aspire to be like any of the previous stages, but can only passively resist egoism by preventing itself from receiving pleasure, the action which is contrary to the fifth stage, is known as the world Olam Asiya. Every world has five sub-stages that are called parts of Fim: Keter, Chochma, Bina, Zeranpin, and Malchut. Zeranpin consists of six sub-sephirot: Chesed, Gevura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod. After the creation of the five worlds, our material world, the realm below the world of Asiya, was created, and a human being was created in it. The human being was endowed with a small portion of the egotistic qualities of the fifth stage. If the human being ascends in the process of spiritual development from the bottom to the top within the spiritual worlds, then that part of egoism which is in him, and likewise all the parts of those worlds that he had used for his ascent, become comparable with the first stage, with the quality of the Creator. When the entire fifth stage elevates to the level of the first, then all the worlds will arrive at the purpose of creation. The spiritual cause of time and space is the absence of light in the collective soul, where spiritual ascents and declines result in a sensation of time, and the place for future presence of the Creator's light gives an impression of space in our world. Our world is affected by spiritual forces, which impart on us a sensation of time caused by the change of their influence. Since two spiritual objects, differing in their qualities, cannot be as one spiritual object, they exert their influence one after another, first the higher, then the lower, and so on. In our world, this produces a sensation of time. We are endowed with three instruments for the task of successfully correcting the egoism within us: feelings, intellect, and imagination. With regard to the spiritual matter and form, the matter is represented by egoism, while the form is determined by the opposing forces corresponding to our own world. We define delights and suffering as good and evil, respectively. But the spiritual suffering serves as the only source of development and progress of humankind. Spiritual redemption is perfection, received on the basis of strong negative sensations, which are received as pleasant ones. Since the left line returns to the right one, the misfortunes, suffering, and pressures are transformed into happiness, pleasure, and spiritual freedom. The reason for this is that in every object there are two opposing forces, egoism and altruism, which are experienced as the remoteness or the proximity of the Creator. There are many examples of this in the Bible: the sacrifice of Yitzhak, the sacrifices of the temple, and so forth. In Hebrew, sacrifices are korbanot, a word that is derived from the word karav, to advance toward something. The right line represents the essence of the spiritual object, whereas the left line is actually only that part of egoism that can be employed by joining it to one's altruistic intentions.